Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Welcome to Ponder This, What is Love? A podcast series discussing and defining the definitions of love with your host, Raven, an advocate of love. Because we are a love lifestyle brand movement. Sit back and enjoy the communal conversation. Emotionally, I'm struggling with the fact that you are what I am looking for in a woman. Your exterior presence excites my inner core. Your mind stimulates my groins, and your voice, well, it titillates my senses. So now I say that I am on a downward spiral since you have rejected me, and I still have to coexist with you, so I struggle. It will go away. Not to worry. Listen. It is me who made the move to tell you, thinking that it would help me move out of my space just like it did with all the others, hoping that it would stop my fantasy. But instead, I hear your voice on the radio, and it teases my ears to think that you are only talking to me, or is it that you tease my mind? Well, either way, it's a tease. Look. While in prayer, I could not sleep. No, it was not me praying. It was you praying during those 48 hours that you kept me awake. I feel you from across the world. I want to cut the energy cord and cannot seem to find the right switch. Maybe I just need to find a power box and pull the main. See, you have seeped into my inner core, found your way into my soul by passing my heart. You caught on to something and will not let go, but you hold nothing in reality. It is me who seems to be caught at this stoplight with my hazards on, waiting for roadside assistance. You're young, you're beautiful, you're smart, and you're spiritually well-lit. It is your inner light that I see, and that is attracting me, that is connecting me. It is the natural you that draws me in as I get stronger. Your light, well, it gets brighter. The journey that we are on was destined prior to our existence. Me loving you may not have been in the plan, but it has made plans for me. I am intent on spending a moment with you, even if it's not the reality that I can grab hold of. In my world of non-existence, I find myself in deep darkness, a home that I know oh so too well, a place where I live to love those who are not interested, but like being around me. My sexual torture chamber of lust goes nowhere. A twisted reality of mine that only is because of what I am. Bare all to expose the truth of how I feel and who I am is my life's walk. One day I will find that pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. My truth will bear witness to the great love and companion. It will reveal the better side of me that is nothing but loving, giving, and kindness, a supporter and the one to inspire your dreams. But until then, I will remain reckless in love with you, insanely connected to you, and empathetically supportive of a woman that deserves all that I can give, but never will know the reality of my emotional connection and my spiritual attraction. Emotionally?
Hey. I hope everybody can hear me. This is Corey Rashad. I'm glad to be on this morning. This is an amazing day. That piece I wrote in 2013, and it was called Spiritual Attraction. I'm feeling like I'm not even hearing myself, to tell you the truth. Let me see if I can get Veronica on. Having some technical difficulties here. Veronica?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Perfect.
Okay. How are you this morning? I'm just gonna roll with
great.
It so that we don't have. Good. Yeah, I wrote that piece in 2013. It's amazing how you grow when you write.
I love it.
Oh, thank you. Whether you write a diary or if you're a poet or you know, if you're writing stories, your journaling definitely will. Show your growth in life and kind of show you where
mm-hmm.
you are and what's going on. So it's amazing as I venture into this realm of my life and look back. I've been pulling up some old stuff and very interesting where I was. So
yeah,
very interesting.
I love it. It's great to locate oneself along one's own continuum.
It is. It really is. So we're gonna start. I mean, this is gonna probably be a really good conversation. So I'm gonna start off, folks. We have Veronica Conway here, back in my studio or on my phone. And if you have been following me on Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest, and all this other stuff, you have heard Veronica from her business side. We're going to tap into that a little bit later. With the questions that we have, but you know, I'm bringing you in and on as a colleague, a friend, a person that's been in my life for quite a few years, and we are going to discuss, you know, what love is. Introduce yourself to this audience that I'm.
Sure. So I'm Veronica Conway, and I wear a few hats in the world. Mother is sort of the first hat always. Two adult children, 24 and 21, and I'm also a transformational coach. So I have worked with entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities, truck drivers, you name it, I've coached it. I've done a special focus with coaching the Black community and understanding the issues that are really specific to our community, and have done a lot of projects with Corey and other spaces and places, and I'm just happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm happy that you're here, too, because this is going to be, like I said, very interesting. But before we get started into our first question, I'm going to remind people that they can call in at 909-232-9222. Again, the number is 909-232-9222. And the way we're going to this show, just to remind our viewers, I started off with a serenade. I call these serenades. In our breaks, I will serenade the audience with some of my works. Then we, you know, we'll have a Q&A, and then we'll do another serenade just to give people some time to ponder what has been spoken and said on this show. And then we go into the second half of the show. But I'm going to start off by asking you, Veronica. You know, love is something in this world we say quite often. You know, I love you this, I love you that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love this, I love that, things, people. In growing up, how did you learn about the meaning of love? And tell us a little bit about your background, because it's very interesting.
Sure. It's very interesting. So I was born the child of a former Black Panther. And so my dad, it's so fascinating because the movie Black Panther is out right now. We've had some discussions about that. But, you know, I lived in a very volatile situation. My dad was preparing for, you know, basically revolution here against the United States government because he saw the real injustice that were happening to people. And so I grew up sort of studying Marx and Lenin and Stalin and going to school under an alias and witnessing shootouts with the cops and a lot of danger and violence around me. In my early childhood, my father was arrested when I was, he went to prison when I was seven, and he's in prison today. And we're in a, I've been in a lifelong battle to get him out. And so it's interesting because in that space and place, there are very little room for what I would call now, with my adult understanding, love, right? Because we were there, I mean, you can imagine, you know, we were there for a cause, right? And my dad's cause was to liberate black people because of all that had been done to black people. So at the source of what he was attempting to do, I think was great love. But the energy of love was not necessarily present in that environment because love can't coexist with danger, and love doesn't coexist with fear. That those frequencies don't coexist together. So I had a very, I'm going to say somewhat stunted view of what love was and didn't really discover it till much later in life.
Right, right. And that, I had a conversation with a Facebook fan. It's so funny when it's Facebook friend,
mm-hmm.
We haven't even met. But, you know, a fan, and we were talking about children, and she was saying that she didn't believe that children came into this world loving. And I'm like, my belief is that we do. We automatically come in with the energy, and the key word there is energy, of love.
Yeah.
And, you know, she brought up, you know, when there's turmoil in the home, you know, she's thinking that a child has to learn how to love. And I think we have to learn how to love for the simple fact that love has been removed. So it's not, are we really learning or returning back? And so your childhood seems to be in that same vein. It's, you know, all this action is going on, and as you're developing and growing, you know, like you're saying, you know, fear-based elements. If you're going to school under an alias, you know, you're learning to really almost cover your true self up. So how do you learn to become self through that?
Yeah.
Or what were you even thinking? Well, let me put it this way. What were you thinking at that time, at that age, you know, being so young, about, hey, I got to lie about my name, and I guess they're teaching you, right? How to kind of maneuver in the world because of what your father was into.
Yeah, well, I think when you're young, and that's, you know, as I've you know, grown into adulthood and found my path and my calling and in my life's work, what I've come to understand is that we get the opportunity, if we choose the opportunity, to explore, and like, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. Right. So at the, you can give yourself that gift again. And what I think is true about any toxic situation or any environment that is not conducive to love, which I think is quite prevalent in our community, by the way, the truth is that we come here as love. We come here as divine love, as divine. And what we do is we unlearn our knowing of that. And so oftentimes, if we want to rediscover our own nature, because our nature is by definition inherently loving, if we want to rediscover that, it's usually a question of removing and sort of deprogramming all the things that aren't love. We are love. We just take on memories, beliefs, identities, thoughts that tell us that we're not. And so our job and our work in adulthood is to go back and investigate that lie. Where are the places where I have stopped connecting in a loving way with my own self? What are ways in which I learned that my, you know, that I'm unlovable? One of the biggest things that I end up deprogramming when I work with clients is either I'm not worthy or I'm not lovable. Those are sort of the two core beliefs that people, you know, but once we can reconnect with that part of ourselves, then we can know ourselves as love and lovers.
And do you think that journey, because there's so many different, from a basic standpoint, because, you know, I'm not going to go into every type of trauma that exists in the world,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there, you know, I call it the ebb and flow of life. So we go through the ebbs to learn how to flow, right? And so taking that mindset, because it is, I feel that fear is the learnt behavior. Hate is the learnt behavior. And then you're saying to rethink or to reprogram ourselves in order to get back to that state of love because of what we learned. That path of walk is difficult for some and not so difficult for others. What is the thing, for lack of a better word, that makes the walk easy for some and easy for others? Is there a mechanism in our brain, or is it a character of our personality where someone says, you know what, I'm done with being tired of myself, you know, and I want to do better by me.
Yeah, depends. There are people that are here, that come here sort of onto this human plane merely to exist and survive. And really, they don't want much more than that. And that's fine. And there's people that come here and are called to something, higher than themselves, something that serves the sort of the greater context. And so one sense of motivation and one sense of willingness about what one will do and what one won't do really is connected to that. I want to also say that when we talk about, you know, love is often misunderstood in the sense that it's been given sort of this veneer of fantasy that we are presented with about it's romance, it's Valentine's Day, it's holiday cards. And here's a great and tremendous trick that they played on humanity. When we talk about, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it sort of semi-metaphysically, because that's actually how it functions. Because love is really energetic, right? When they gave us the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as the divine trinity. But notice that in that trinity, what is left out is the feminine. And that is sort of by design. That is sort of by design. Because the real axis of love is the divine masculine, the divine feminine, and source. Or God, or whatever you want to call that. That's actually the real.
Yeah.
That's the real Trinity. And by the way, we each have masculine and feminine internally to each of us. We embody those. So that's the real circuit through which love can flow. It flows from source to the feminine to the masculine, and it's a circuit. So that's how it functions. And when that circuit is whole and running and operative, then love can flow between the lovers unimpeded, unblocked, unchecked, unthwarted. So when we begin to talk about love, it's actually a vibration that comes down and is a showering of experience to the lovers, to the beloveds. But we are so removed from that, and for many reasons that we can talk about, that we have settled for it's a sad approximation of it, which is romance, control. We call love by many names. I'm jealous. I'm controlling. I romance. I'm needy. I'm hurt. Come save me. We call all of that love. And none of that is love.
right.
None of that is love.
And it's so funny that you say that, because the song that I chose as my theme on my website is music Soul Child, his song Love.
Mm-hmm.
And that first line, I think, in that song is like so many or the main part of the bridge or whatever it is, love, is so many people use its name in vain, you know, and I totally agree with that. And do you think that was created by design? Because when you know the truth around love, and how it can create abundance in your life, right?
Yeah.
And how that energy works. Do you think that it was marketed in a way so that we would be diverted from its real truth?
Absolutely. So understand that this all happened in the era of the church, right? To remove the feminine from the equation. Because when you remove, because the divine feminine is exactly, she is the embodiment of love.
Yes.
She is the embodiment of love. So if you remove the divine feminine from the equation, then the circuitry breaks down. And what you then come to need is a middleman between you and God. Because understand that people that are in the showering of love are completely uncontrollable. You can't send them to war. You can't freak them out about money. You can't control them through these mechanisms because people in the showering of love are on fire and uncontrollable. So you're uncontrollable. So if you're going to control the many with the very, very few, then you have to remove and take out an essential part of our nature and an essential part of our understanding. If you look around the planet right now,
right,
and this is even pre sort of the whole Me Too movement or even pre feminism. What's true is that the planet is bereft of the feminine. The planet is bereft of the truly feminine. It has abused the feminine. It's abused the earth and the water and all that is feminine. It's life itself. All that is feminine has actually been horribly mistreated.
Mm.
And the reaction that we're seeing now from the feminine isn't exactly feminine. Because women have lost touch with their essential nature, that she knows inside that she needs to reclaim something. I'm not sure that most women know what it is that they need to be reclaiming, but what you're seeing as a reaction to how the feminine has been interacted with for thousands of years here on this planet.
Yeah, and definitely creates the imbalance. And it's so funny that you say that, and as you're speaking, I'm getting this image, because I'm an image, a visual person, of, electrical wires which have the male and female. And when you split them or remove one, you really can't be, no electricity will go through. You can't, even if it's for people that don't understand, if let's just take a regular plug, taking that male plug and putting it into the female, which is the wall, without the female. I think I said this to Jehovah's Witnesses when they came to my house one day. I told, they don't believe in some type of internal energy, we don't. I'm like, well, how does your heart beat? It's electrical. And I said, when you shake my hand, and like I put my hand out to shake his hand, now we are connected. Now we have a vibration between us happening, you being electrical and I being electrical, and that's how, a source works, and or the world works as well. If I remove myself, if I do not plug myself in, especially when I'm talking to other people, into the female, and I think I use the story too, like it's funny that we carry our cell phones around. Know that your cell phone is the male, and your plug to plug it into the wall is the female. If you do not carry your cord to plug your phone into an electrical socket, your phone will not work. So just having the male and walking around with the male, the world is dead. It will die off eventually if you don't have that connection to the female. And so I'm glad you explained it the way you explained it. I always have to make everything pictorial, but
yeah. Well, let me take that, what you're saying, and even expand on it a little, one step deeper, because you can't talk about love without talking about sex.
Right.
So, happy breakfast, boys and girls, this morning. So the way it works is that the masculine is the electric and the feminine is the magnetic. And when the masculine and the feminine that are in their right polarity come together, they create an electromagnetic current. Right? If they are interacting with consciousness and with intent and with power, they become an electromagnetic current. Now, there's a bunch of reasons that we have been sort of misinformed about our sexuality, because that current becomes a charge. When people are walking around in an electromagnetic state, they magnetize everything to them rather effortlessly. And so, unfortunately, what we don't understand is that sexuality is being given to us as not only a staircase to God and higher states of consciousness, but also as a vehicle for getting everything born here on the planet, not just children in the sense of procreation, but ideas and buildings and manifestations and everything. But when it's been sort of bastardized and people have been made to feel shame, made to feel all these dynamics about it, then it doesn't flow naturally either. When it becomes a sense of a relationship of predation and victim, when it becomes all of these things that happened to us, you know, one of the greatest interruptions that happened to Black people was the massive amounts of rape that occurred, and the deep interruption and wounding that created in our community that got handed down intergenerationally. That wounding got handed down in the epigenetics. So understand that we have the capacity through conscious relating and through our sexuality to not only to talk to God and see God's face directly, but to also use that as a creative force to birth everything that we ever desired on the planet.
Exactly.
So that goes together. It goes together with love.
This is a two, well, a comment, a question. I was looking at somebody had posted something up that shows the chakras of the body, and of course the lower chakra being, you know, in the sexual area, in the groin area, and what it controls, and it controls fear. So when you fear and love, so when you disrupt it, you actually create fear. And I said, in terms of strategy wise, in slavery or in war, which is why you rape and pillage. So
that's
when
right.
you are raping, physically raping women, you are actually creating fear that is going to be very hard to remove, right?
Sure.
And it has to be worked on. And so now I understand the strategy, if you want to go back to war, understand the strategy of war to rape and pillage a community, because it is the woman that is the center of the community.
Yes.
And if you're taking and disrupting that chakra from her, then yes, it's going to feed into the other chakras, won't even be activated because it starts there. So when the love starts there and it moves up, and of course you get to the pineal gland, it's going to be very hard for her to remove herself from that fear. And so you now, like you said, have created this intergenerational disruption of prosperity and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, when, you know, that knowledge, when it came to me or I saw, I'm like, oh, my God, now it makes sense why, you know, we are where we are. How did you get to this understanding and knowledge?
I have the great benefit to work with a great sexual master, energy master, for a number of years, I think maybe 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. And I mean, this man could, you know, be on a Skype call with 60 women on the other side of the world, and he could, you know, send them into a simultaneous orgasm with a thought, right? And, you know, looking like he's baking bread. So he was that in control of the grid, right? That sort of the energetic grid that exists. So I was fortunate to receive a tremendous amount of download through my interaction with him, both in person and at a distance. And one of the things that I really learned from him is about the feminine and about sort of the nature of the truly feminine. And one thing that I think people have lost sight of when you talk about this whole thing with the chakras, a woman's heart chakra is literally her source of power. That's her positive polarity.
Oh wow!
So,
okay.
And the man's genitals is his positive polarity, and so her heart polarity is the embodiment of love. But so often, truly check in with a woman, her heart polarity has been cut off from her negative polarity, which is her genitals. Her negative genitals are her negative polarity is her genitals. Her positive polarity is the heart. It's reversed in the man. His negative polarity is his heart.
Right.
His positive polarity is his genitals. And that's what creates that electromagnetic charge. It's yin and yang. It's like a battery. But her,
right.
also often, because of her fear and shame and all the negative toxic experiences that she has had around her sexuality, her heart is actually cut off from her genitals. Like if you look at how the chakra system works and how the meridian system works, it's literally cut off. So what happens is, instead of remembering that she is love, what she begins to do is to manipulate to get love. Because she's not in direct connection with the fact that she is love. So when men complain about women being manipulative and not just being loving and feminine and divine and all these things that a man craves that a woman would be, it's often because there's this imbalance that's set off that she's not even fully aware of.
Right. Well, that just
answered
all of my relationship problems.
Right.
Wow. That's then it all makes sense. That does make so much sense in terms of even just where we are because of our relationships. You know, I'm around a lot of women that complain. You know, finding a good man is hard to find. But then when, you know, they, and this is also about the bastardization of the word love, because women, I feel, are seeking and searching for the wrong thing because of how it is marketed. But then if their heart is not in the right place or is not charged correctly, then do they even know what they're really looking for? Your visual is saying you're looking for this. You get something close to it, but then you can't receive, because then there's the element of receiving that love, even if it comes to you correctly, and being able to receive that love. Are you even open? Because now that fear steps in, like, oh, he's going to drop the ball. Oh, he's, you know, whatever that is for that particular woman. And again, it goes back to, well, it all stems from some type of trauma that is disrupted.
And that's the thing, is that so much of our sexuality, it tends to be misused in the sense that most people think of it as this friction-based orgasmic thing where you kind of get in, get off, get out, right? And the real purpose of divine lovemaking, especially when you talk about healing the feminine through sexuality, is that part of the man's role, even though part of the man's role, his real role in divine interaction, is for him to, first of all, have done his own spiritual work, where he brings enough truth and the fire of truth. Because when men are the truth, when they don't lie about how many women they deal with, when they don't lie and manipulate women to get into their pants, when they don't lie and blame and act like children expect women to be their mamas, when they stand in their true divine truth, they become a sort of a fiery cauldron. They become highly electric. So when he brings that to the relating, he can bring enough power through his interaction to actually go in, stand present with her, allow her to experience and surface in her field all of the pain, the trauma, the suffering, the woundedness. If he allows her to bring that awareness up in the act of lovemaking, he can sit with her and have her burn that off. He can actually transmute it in the act of lovemaking. But he has to have enough presence. He can't be in a fantasy. He can't be in a little boy's posture. He can't be wanting his mama to take care of him. He actually has to come in the blaze of his divine masculine presence and be willing to stand witness with her. If he does that, he will, and let her burn that off, then she has the opportunity to not only to surrender deeply to him, but she then becomes the beautiful, magnetic, seductive, soft creature that he's been longing to experience. And when he looks into her eyes and witnesses her deep surrender to him, he will come to know himself as God. He will know himself as God, because that's where a man locates his godliness, is in the presence of a divinely surrendered woman.
Yeah.
But he has to know how to support her in becoming that. She can't create, she can't do that on her own. She can't create that on her own. She needs the alchemy of masculine firepower to do that. So one of the big problems that we see, especially in our community, is that the polarities have been dramatically reversed, because the women are out here in the masculine posture, a much time by default, taking on responsibility for the children and the community and the work and the education, right? And then, because of having been assaulted by the dominant culture in their space and place, have sort of defaulted and abdicated their role as protector, right, of the feminine.
Yeah.
So we have an extraordinary imbalance, and we use this power of sexuality that could be this extraordinary creative force. We use it for recreation instead, and so we are misusing the very energy, the very force that we've been given that could actually transmute our entire condition.
That's
the deep thing. That's the rub. Yes.
Yeah, you dropped a few mics right there, Veronica. Wow. Well, I'm going to take a break, because I even have to digest it. I'm going to come back with a question. I'm going to serenade the crowd. People, 909-232-9222. One more time, 909-232-9222. If you got a question, please call in. If you have a comment, please call in. I'm going to serenade you, and we're going to come back, because I got a hot question for you on that, what you just said.
Okay.
What is love? Love is an experience, and on April 29th, we're going to bring that experience alive at the Raw Space at 2031 Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard in Harlem, New York. Between the hours of 1 and 4, we are going to create an experience where we are going to open ourselves up to the emotions and the feelings of love. You don't want to miss it. My special guest, Cashel Campbell, will help me make you move to love. I will be there and hopefully build your emotion of love, and Chef Nico is going to fill you with love. Look forward to you guys being there. For more information, go to ponderthisone.com. That's ponderthisone.com. There's a world that is filled by you. I drink your water and I bask in your sun. There is a world with your name on it. It is where I wake up and where I lay my head to dream. If I could, I would want to be your moon so that I could revolve around you and be held tight to your gravity. If I could, I would want to be your sun in order to warm your earth and feed it my rays so that it sustains the beauty that I absorb from you. There is a world that exists for me. It vibrates within me. It holds my attention dearly. It carries within it pieces of a joy divine. I call her my sunlight because she brings forth rays of vibrant love. There is this world that I live in, and I'm proud to call her Jen.
All right. All right, we are back. That was a little serenade called There Is You. That was actually about the last woman I was seeing, to tell you the truth. And but April 29th, make sure you guys check us out at ponderthisone.com. Okay, we are back with Veronica. With all that you said, Veronica.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
If we are to be balanced as a people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a movement. Wow. There is a movement where women are empowering themselves, and they've been doing it for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
The empowerment of women, empower women, empower women, empower. So we're empowering this female energy. But I feel that we're not balanced in empowering our
right.
men equally. What
Correct.
Becomes of that if we continue in this direction of all these powerful women and the men are still stuck, you know, in a
mm-hmm.
century that is gone and lost?
Right. Well, the thing is under, I want to make a distinction in what you said. You said we're empowering the female. It doesn't mean we're empowering the feminine. Two different things, right?
Yeah, okay.
We are empowering the females. We are not empowering the feminine. In other words, the feminine is the still creative, receptive, available, juicy, tender creature, right, that embodies that nature. So we're not empowering that. So that's the first thing. So what's true is that because all of our models of power have always rested because it's been so imbalanced, all of our models of power are masculine. Right, because we're so bereft of the feminine on the planet, all of the models of power are masculine. The masculine takes and goes and gets and claims and runs and right and builds and all
Correct.
Of that.
Correct.
And the truth is that the feminine becomes very exhausted living in that model. So, so women are embodying sort of a masculine approach to empowerment. And not a feminine approach to empowerment. If we were to be embodying a feminine approach to empowerment, we would be going inward. We would
yeah.
be more introspective. We would be in deeper meditation. So that's sort of the answer to one part of your question. In terms of what needs to happen for the masculine is in dire need of his own version of introspection. And what I mean by that is he has wounds too. He has to do his spiritual work too. He's got things that he has to go inwardly and clean up too, whether it's around his mama issues. And, right, because so many men in our community have had some negative experience with either with fatherlessness or with having a mama that was crazy because women go crazy when they are left to their own devices and they have no
yeah.
support to do the heavy lifting of raising of children. Like, we create environments that make women crazy, right? So
mm-hmm.
when men grow up, then he can end up having a very disparaged relationship to the feminine. Either he becomes, if he doesn't do his inner work, he either becomes very disdainful of the feminine and seeks to harm her. In some way, he becomes sort of a woman hater, woman basher, or he becomes a mama's boy, where he never grows out of the need for approval from the feminine. And so either way, he is, as a man, is, you know, so he's got to do his work, too, around bringing himself into his masculine fullness, his masculine truth, his divine
right.
truth, right? That's his work. The woman has her work to do, too. So, and to answer your question, if we don't address this, and if this continues to remain unchecked on the planet, and you keep having this, because it's radically imbalanced right now, it's 100%, 180 degrees from where it's supposed to be, because the women are becoming more masculinized, and the men are becoming more feminized, and that
yeah.
is... And again, I don't mean that as any disparagement. It's just
right.
this is energetic. This is the polarity of it.
Right.
So both polarities have their work to do. It's slightly different work, but it's that's the work.
Got it. Wow. Huh. Okay, you just floored me. Because I wasn't thinking about female and then feminine energy. It is energy
mm-hmm.
that has to be balanced. And that energy with both genders, let's put it that way, right, having, or humans, or I call them now individuals, with individuals having both the male and female energy, what do you feel then, okay, so men are being feminized, and it's so interesting that you say that, because I was looking at the Super Bowl, and I was very upset with a company that used Morgan Freeman with a female voiceover. An older gentleman who should have some, you know, let's put it this way, male energy wisdom, right, that would be able to teach our generation of, you know, to find their truth. But they painted, of course, from the visual, you know, it's almost like, as if he was cross-dressing verbally. And... you know, I'm you know, these images that are used, one him being a black man, and now even looking at the news, every black male image is very feminized.
Right, it's either like, you get representations of either feminine or hyper masculinized, because what is hip hop and rap, right? It's the hyper aggressive masculine man that objectifies women and doesn't really give a shit about it, right? So it's either hyper masculinized, and men see that and they think that that's how they relate to the feminine, is through that lens, or it's hyper feminized, which is where, you know, you get the So there's not really healthy representations of masculine health in our community.
And so that goes to the question that I've been waiting to ask. Like, where are we when it comes to love in the black community? Where are we I know that answer, but are we starting to recognize? Have we recognized? Or are we still in this, what I call this color war? Oh, I'm black, Black Lives Matter. And, but, you know, and spiritually, there's so much to that. That's a whole nother show.
Well, we are at the very beginning. And I think we're at the very beginning because we are just coming through surviving, you know, centuries of slavery, Jim Crow, all of the, you know, and all the continued sort of incarceration. Both, you know, understand that we've been at the effect of both physical incarceration and mental and emotional incarceration, and so we're sort of children emotionally when it comes to this notion of love. We have a lot of work to do, and so right now what you're seeing, and I really pay attention to sort of the zeitgeist out here, and I see what the conversation is in the online space and in different spaces about what is happening between men and women and brothers and sisters in our community. And there is a lot of finger pointing. There is a lot of, well, women just aren't feminine enough, so we're going to date out. And men aren't really, they're not providing for us and protecting us, so we're just going to give up on men. There's a lot of blame and finger pointing and a lot of disconnect that is happening in our community. So we are at the very beginning stages of the work. I think that we have a long way to go. It's interesting because given the fact that we are such sensual creatures and we experience, you know, we are sexual creatures. We're probably, you know, some would say the most sexual creatures on the planet. What is tragic, what is both beautiful and tragic about that is that we, again, we tend to use it recreationally as sport, and what we could be using it for, if we used it intentionally and consciously, would not only provide a great healing to our community, but would also we could transmute all of the pain and suffering that has come, especially to the feminine. We could transmute all that pain and suffering and actually create a world of our choosing through the alchemy of higher sexual functioning. But right now, we're kind of based with it right now, right? We're kind of like, you know, we have maturing to do. We have a maturation to do. We have emotional maturation to do. We have sort of our understanding of our connection to our spirituality and sexuality, that has to, we have to grow up and and become more of that. Right now we are in little boy and little girl posture, and we can see the evidence of that all around us. So understand that our history has been deeply interrupted, and that that's not entirely of our own creation, that that has been put in place so that we are easy to control, easy to manipulate, easy to exploit financially, easy to have us internalize our oppression and, you know, brothers killing each other. And then we tolerate images of that. And, you know, we've actually found a way to monetize. Isn't that what hip hop is about?
Yeah.
I mean, most of it, not conscious hip hop, but it's about the wholesale abuse of women through misogyny and the murder of your brother. That so many of the images that come to, and when we pay good money to witness our own demise. So, but a free, conscious people would never tolerate such a thing.
Right.
Would never accept such a thing.
Right.
If we were free and not being systematically programmed by the dominant culture, because they know what they're feeding. They know what they're feeding us is the imagery of our own demise. And so we go along with it because, I guess, I don't know. Because we have to mature. We have a deep maturation process that we are going to have to walk through. There are no shortcuts to this.
Right. Well, I mean, you brought it up earlier about the whole I'm not worthy aspect of our ourselves or themselves, because I know I'm worthy. And so if the community is thinking that they are not worthy, then, you know, it's that changing of the mind and understanding and being able to receive. When you are so calcified, in a sense.
Correct.
To penetrate, you know, new thought, new actions, and to tell you the truth, ancient understanding, and I tell people it's not ancient. It's ageless. The information that we were talking about earlier that you truly delivered well, you know, it is our now. It is our current knowledge.
Correct.
It is what makes the world work. It's not some type of old news, you know, that we're trying to implement today. It is how life works. And, you know, try it out, you know, work. I think I came into the world kind of knowing the information and finding the information and re-educating myself now, which is why this platform was built, to tell you the truth, was so that we can really dive into really understanding what love is. Love is not the car. It's not the bling. You know, it's not the house and the grass. You manifest that through love. You're loving correctly.
Yeah.
You manifest your desires. Those are
all of that.
Of life. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, David Banner said it best. He said, you know, the brothers kill each other for the same reason the cops kill us. No, we don't value. There's no value placed in black existence. And when you think about it, we'll know that we love when we value. Right? When the masculine in our community values the feminine, when the feminine values the masculine, when we value our children, when we value each other enough to be sort of on code with each other and have each other's backs no matter what, that's how we'll know we are loving, because we will at least be valuing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh. So, okay. Thank God I put a little extra time on this today. Let me ask you again. Because for me, this male energy, the protector, and it's kind of funny that we're not protecting people coming into our community. We are, I don't know what men are protecting, their own insecurities, which is why they're warring among themselves, again, being not worthy, and fighting against the injustices that they think are on the outside, but they're fighting their own internal war, and it's almost like a child that has a tantrum.
Yeah.
Mommy won't give me something, but it's based on your want. Like, the child doesn't know. It's based on your want. But because you think
mm-hmm.
your mother or your parent is not giving it to you, your emotions says that it's her. But if you changed
mm-hmm.
your way, maybe behaved a certain way or said it a certain way, you know, you would have manifested
mm-hmm.
your desire. Again, the changing of thought, even with a child. They don't know. They're learning. And so are our men having tantrums to the, you know,
mm-hmm.
that type of energy? And because if the female individual is heightening her male energy so that she can
mm-hmm.
support and supply for her family, which he
mm-hmm.
is mostly absent. I don't care what anybody says, even if the man, you know, I say if a man is broken, whether he's in the in a relationship
mm-hmm.
with your mother or not,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work for the home.
Mm-hmm.
So are the men really, I think I'm answering my own question based on what you had said,
mm-hmm.
struggling with their own, really, the understanding of their own masculinity? Do men even know what their masculine energy is if they have not had a teacher or...
Right. Right.
Go.
Yeah.
Because you're raising a son.
The thing is that you know, when we think about what we are, the impressions that we are given about what is masculine, what is feminine, it's always a caricature, isn't it? Like, so
yes.
So women get fed this image that to be feminine, you're supposed to be sexy, right? Well, sexy has nothing to do with feminine, right?
Right.
When you are
right.
in your feminine, it tends to be very magnetic and very sexy, but it's not
mm-hmm.
a costume to put on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same
mm-hmm.
with the masculine. The masculinity is not machismo. It's not a costume to put on. But if you think about the images that we're often fed about who, you know, who we are, we're represented by these caricatures of masculinity and these caricatures of femininity. And I don't care what you say, like, images matter because they're hypnotic. You know, messaging matters. Part of the warfare that has been going on against our community is psychological warfare, is media warfare. Because there's not, if you want to control a people, then, you know, feed them images of themselves that
yeah.
cut them mm-hmm. off from their divine nature. So that's one thing. And so, yes, men are going to have to do their work. They're going to have to heal and locate inside of themselves what the divine masculine is. You can't it's like I sort of see us as like these little children inside with these adult clothes on, right? Like all baggy
yeah.
and frumpy, and the shoes two sizes too big, in 10 sizes too big, right? Because understand what happens is that at the soul level, when we experience trauma, we often go into shock, and a part of our soul actually fragments off of our life body at that moment of shock, and we cease to exist developing into emotional adulthood at that moment of trauma. So when I say we become children, it literally is because there are traumatic events that we have where we literally stop our emotional growth in adulthood, and we become shocked at that moment of trauma, and we don't grow past that. So when I say we are children, we are literally children because we haven't gone back and been reconciled that wounding. So you've got a lot of men walking around in little boy's posture as child, right? Not as king, not as sovereign, but as child. And you can't have children protecting the community.
Right.
Children don't protect the community. Children answer to whatever stimulus they are responding to in the moment. Whether it's some poo,
yeah.
whether it's wanting poo nanny or wanting to,
yeah.
right? Children react to the stimulus of the moment. They're not planning for the kingdom.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I mentioned so aligned and so on point right now a few weeks ago on Facebook, because it's funny. I think as you build, you know, Facebook sends you, you know, these images and Facebook friend requests from women that are in, you know, porn or sex. And mm-hmm. I see that the more that you're building, I think there's an algorithm or something behind the scenes. If you're building, the more mm-hmm. I get more now than I did before. And it's funny that, you know, I switched over to this whole love thing instead of just, ooh, promoting people. And I'm like, and I said something online. It's like, hey, especially men, black men, do not,
mm-hmm.
because when you go to these pages, and I see how many of my friends that are male are on that have clicked to like this, I'm like, you're being
mm-hmm.
played. You're being played.
Mm-hmm.
If you know
yeah.
your journey, your worth, just even look at the news. If you know what life
mm-hmm.
is doing to you, you wouldn't be
yeah.
saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to like her page, and, oh, I'm going to go to her website, and, oh, I'm going to get off on this. You're being
yeah.
you're being played, because the thing is,
well, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that
the
you know,
fantasy.
They're offering,
it's the fantasy.
Yeah, it's the boy in you.
So understand the under exactly. So understand that men that engage. So first of all, there's you know, and listen, I like porn as much as anybody, but here's what I also
yeah,
understand
yeah.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
What I understand about it is that it promotes the movie, the fantasy of what a woman is. It teaches men nothing about a woman's nature and how to correctly interact
right.
with it, because
right.
usually it's just pump, pump, whatever, let me pound it hard and all this stuff that has nothing to do with how you awaken and evoke a woman's divine nature. And here's
right.
the thing. If you're walking around in a fantasy about what a woman is supposed to be, and yet you have no connection to the reality of who she is, then how
mm.
can you engage with her in a way that doesn't cause her energetic harm? Because if you bring the fantasy-ridden consciousness and the sense of a lack of reality to a real woman, and then you infect her with that,
mm-hmm.
you do nothing but harm. Because if you're going to interact with a woman and heal her and support her in breaking down all of the fears, wounding, and stuff that she's got going on, and you're really it requires extraordinary presence. You have to bring her your presence. And so you can't be present and in a fantasy simultaneously.
Right.
And so you can't infuse her or clarify her so that she becomes the truth if you are bringing to her some fantasy about what she's supposed to be, do, look like, her, how her hair is, all that bullshit. So if men, and let me tell you something, brothers, any brother that's in the within the sound of my voice, I want you to really hear this. I promise you, if you dare stand enough in your truth and in your masculinity to bring your whole divine self to the presence of a woman and you witness her surrender to you, you will never need a substitute, a doll, a porn actress, or whatever, because when you plug into the divine feminine, it will be the most godly, divine experience you have ever had, and you will come to know yourself as God. But you may not run around in total distraction and expect to be gifted that experience.
Right.
It's a narrow path. It's a narrow
yeah.
path, and it requires masculine discipline and presence. And we as women need that from our men. We have shouldered and struggled and carried a long time, and we need our men to stand up and stand witness with us and be present and clarify us in this way. And men will be restored to their rightful throne. But you can't
yeah.
do it from a little boy's posture. You can't
no.
do it from a little boy's posture.
No, you can't. And the teaching of that posture, though, is I think where we're missing the link. You know, the elder men, I think, that could actually teach that. And I've been saying, tell me if I'm right or wrong, or if there is a right or wrong, that I feel that the building of a man will have to come from a woman telling the men what they want and need from some type of level. There, I have yet. And I think maybe it's because of the circle that I'm in, but, you know, we all have a purpose, and my energy truly pulls in women who are broke. I don't even like to say broken, but who are discouraged because of the type of men that they're running into. And I have counseled from a spiritual place. And, you know, the way I came into the world was quite different, and people are going to read that in the book, than most men. And so balanced in a very unique way that I can speak on what the man is after and what he wants, and have been right. And I've got my testimonies in lately, so people can learn a little bit about who I am in a few days from now. You know, but they come seeking answers and questions, and I'm like, well, he's broken. He's a little boy. Oh, he wants his mom. He's still suckling on the, you know, the breast.
Right.
And, you know, he hasn't grown. And they're like, well, who teaches? If there was not a man in that home, who teaches? And for the women, I say, if you have a
There's no models.
There are
no models. We need models.
I don't even know where they exist, you know. Maybe a few, but my father, I will say, definitely is a man who has been broken and is still struggling with whatever it is. And he's 84 years old. And, you know, in our disagreements, I have told him, man up, grow up, just because I'm like, this is not, you know, who you are. And it's hard to, you know, you're talking about someone who grew up, you know, born in the 30s and in the South.
Right.
And so KKK, you know, he had to hide, you know, if they were coming from church, he had to get into the ditch so that he wouldn't be hung or accosted or, you know, molested or raped. You know, who knows what these men would be doing. But he grew up in fear. And it took time for me to recognize, you know, that trauma within him, you know, being poor, a sharecropper. So, and me coming in the world, you know, to tell my father that he has to grow up, I had to even look at that. It's like, but then again, you know, this is a man who can't even say the word love. Now, if you can't say love, then you don't know love. And I feel that there's so many men that post-slavery syndrome, which I don't even like to talk about so much because I don't want to claim has the trauma, has created a weakness in our male community, which is why we see what we've just talked about, what we see in hip hop, and the bastardized. I like that word, but I can't say it. My tongue's not working this morning. We've been twisted and turned to believe something other than what is true, and the balance really just needs to be there. But I said all that to say that, you know, in order for our men, our young boys, to grow up into men, a lot, too, I feel, has to do with how the woman in the home is speaking of the father. If he's not there for you, there were choices that were made. This child is here, and you've got to reclaim the manhood in the home. Reclaim that young man's man, and as a mom of, you know, two children, and this will be our final, and then we'll close out. You know, raising a son and a daughter, you know, what do you tell mothers with young boys in the home, and women as well?
So what I did with my children is I built a virtual village. Right. So I built a virtual village. And so that means, I had not only teams that helped me run my household, and manage them when I traveled. I had people surrounding them, experts and supporters and mentors. And so there was, in that mix, there was definitely men. Jake also was, put into a lot of environments where he could have male support. So Boy Scouts and different camps. And I had strong masculine energy present in his life. I think that what also was missing is sort of male rites of passage, right? There used to be, and in many other communities, there are ceremonies where people actually, we talk about a bar mitzvah, but my son always said, why isn't there a bro mitzvah? What happens at a bar mitzvah? That's when you decide you're going to, that's when you are bestowed manhood and you are sort of given the expectations about what man is going to be. You're also given financial seed to get your life started so that you don't start off in a complete deficit financially and economically, right? So there's an entrainment that happens when we have these sort of rituals and these sort of rites of passage, which we are sadly bereft of in our community. So I had to take it upon myself to really build community around my children that supported them in, and especially my son, in his masculine maturation.
Okay. That also depends on you got to search and find. It's out there, no matter where you're.
Yeah,
at.
It's work. Believe me, it's work. It's work.
Yeah.
It's work. It's work. But it's doable.
Right. Well, Veronica, oh my God, what a pleasure. Oh my God, very. Yeah, I think
my
I only
pleasure.
Asked you one two questions out of what I wanted to ask you, but the conversation was awesome as always. Went down a road, and this is what I like. I like conversation. I really don't like to be too structured. So I thank you for being on. Where can people find you? There should be a line outside of your door after this interview. People haven't heard what she says. I'm going to have to play it again so you can understand that this woman is one awesome, phenomenal being, and she has the wisdom and the knowledge to make moves and changes in our world. So where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me. I have a very old website that I'm in the process of rebranding at veronicaconway.com. If you want to reach out to me directly, I do some very profound healing work with people at the soul level. And you can reach out to me at veronica@veronicaconway.com. It's veronica@veronicaconway.com. And reach out. So, yeah, veronicaconway.com or veronica@veronicaconway.com is how you can get in touch with me. And then I'm, of course, all over social media, under the Veronica Conway moniker.
Right. Twitter, Facebook, the whole nine.
All right, again,
Veronica. A pleasure having you on.
A pleasure. You too. You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is love? Love is an experience. And on April 29th, we're going to bring that experience alive at the Raw Space at 2031 Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard in Harlem, New York. Between the hours of 1 and 4, we are going to create an experience where we are going to open ourselves up to the emotions and the feelings of love. You don't want to miss it. My special guest, Cashel Campbell, will help me make you move to love. I will be there and hopefully build your emotion of love. And Chef Nico is going to fill you with love. Look forward to you guys being there. For more information, go to ponderthisone.com. That's ponderthisone.com.
Folks, I hope you enjoyed the show today with Veronica Conway. She is one awesome individual. You've heard the wisdom, you've heard the knowledge. She definitely dropped the mic quite a few times this evening, and you could definitely check out the show again on ponderthisone.com. We are also looking for businesses to support. This is a love lifestyle brand, and she actually executed what that brand should really be about. It's about the energy, the female, the male energy, and the energy of love, the vibration of love that we should all find and carry with us throughout our lives so that we can be abundant and strong and prosper the way we see our lives to be. It is a desired life to have. It is a life of love. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm being a part of Ponder This, What is Love? This is a series that we'll be talking about love for the next 3 months, and then we're going to talk about women, we're going to talk about men, and then we're going to talk about women. Every 3 months, we're going to change the subject, but it's still going to be under the guise of love and the topic of love. So tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. Saturday. In between, if you're missing us for any reason, go to ponderthisone.com. Go to our Facebook page, Ponder This, and you can also check us out. We're building a Pinterest page as well. On Twitter, I'm Deep Singh, but I think I'm going to start turning all of my social media into Ponder This. So as I'm building, join and build with us. Get your mug also. We have some products on sale. We got mugs and T-shirts on our website. So help support the cause. Help to support the mission of empowering love. Again, thank you for listening. Love you.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com. Where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.